Hello, welcome to the Monday Scramble podcast. Lisa Cornwell, Jay Coffin, Will Gray. I guess big news, breaking news. Davis Love III has made his picks.
Neither of us are on the team, sadly. Yeah. I did not get the
call. Did you make it?
I did not get the call from Davis Love.
You're not going to Eastlake?
I'm also not going to Eastlake, so I don't know that I have a really good shot at this last pick either.
Well, Will's out. thoughts on these picks?
I'm going to the Ryder Cup. I'm not going to Eastlake. I am going to the Ryder Cup, but I don't think my my 16 handicap is going to do anybody.
I'm 16
anything.
These days.
Yeah, down. That's exactly right. Peaking just in time.
Scrambling, we'd do okay. Thoughts on the picks?
Predictable. Look, I don't like anything. I think if I've,
you like me?
If I have a thing. I do,
okay,
Lisa.
Good.
Yeah,
thanks.
Not Will sometimes. I mean, right. I can run hot and cold with Will. Yeah, we have our things. But I'm okay with this because I really sort of don't see any better option. You can totally we can totally debate Ricky however you want to debate him, but he was sort of always going to be on that team. He's everybody's little brother. He plays nice. He sort of does the right thing. He can play with anybody. You know, should he or should he not? I don't know. He was always going to be on it. I think Kuchar was the lock. We talked about that last week, the lock. And I think J.B. Holmes probably snuck in instead of Jim Furyk under the gun is the way I look at it when I break down the three.
So basically, Davis Love III added three guys who have combined for zero PGA Tour wins this season. And he led with Fowler, who just finished 58th out of 68 players at Crooked Stake. I assure you, when they created this calendar reformation a year and a half ago, this was not how they drew it up.
Correct.
That they thought they would have a player like Paul Casey, like Adam Scott, someone who has vaulted into consideration, not just consideration, but said, you have to pick me based on how I've played over these first three events.
Correct.
And zero Americans.
Not one person raised their hand and said, you have to pick me.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's big picture. Let's talk about these guys individually, and I want to save Ricky Fowler because I think that that's kind of the hot button one. But let's start with Matt Kuchar. I think he was kind of the obvious pick. Mr. Consistency. I mean, Kuchar's the guy not only who you feel like can get the job done, but is such a great team guy, and like he's a hell of a ping pong player. So that's important.
There you go. How many points are we getting on the ping pong?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like Kuchar's the soft clay. He'll go whichever way you want him to go. Yeah. If you need him to, you know, be the team guy, he'll do that. If you need him to sit out a match, he'll do that. If you need him to go with the young guys, he can do that. So that's certainly an asset. He's more adaptable than perhaps someone like Bubba Watson, who was certainly in the consideration, who might be a little more in his lane than Kuchar, who can go in a lot of different ways. But Kuchar has had a sneaky good season. What did he say? He said, I've had a really nice year, which is the most Matt Kuchar thing ever to
correct.
Say.
Correct.
But, you know, third place at Bridgestone, third place, obviously the bronze medal at the Olympics, fourth the Memorial. He put up some solid numbers, even though he didn't win.
And you're talking about recent performances, too.
Correct.
I mean, that's what I think is the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. It's a little bit of everything. You know, Mr. Consistency, but yet not playing terribly recently. And I think you put all that together, and, you know, he's a Sea Island buddy, and you mix all that into the nice little pot, and it spit out Matt Kuchar. And I think, you know, we said that Ricky Fowler was always going to be one. Matt Kuchar really, truly was always going to be one, you know, and sneaking in for that bronze medal. Not that that put him over the hump, but that gave him a lot of exposure, gave him a little bit of confidence over these last couple of weeks, and it's pretty easy to see that one. I have no issues with that one.
Okay, and then you go to J.B. Holmes, and you think about his performance in team events. I know that he wasn't playing as well, but he seems to have picked things up just a bit. Plus, you go back to the last time the United States captured the Ryder Cup, and this guy was on the team, 2008.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of speaks to, I don't know, who he is and what he's done, his success in the President's Cup. Those things matter, and recent success matters as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he does have that cachet of being on four different U.S. teams. The Americans won every single match or every single cup that he's played on. You know, given the record in the Ryder Cup, it's kind of an anomaly that he was on the one team that won. So that is a plus for him. I have a concern, two concerns, I guess. One, I don't think he was on this team without a fourth place finish this week. And it goes back to when Phil was saying the picks are very clear. I have a tough time believing that J.B. Holmes was a clear pick before this past week. But the other part is, coming off a third place finish at the Open, he was on the inside track, and he really didn't need much to get over the hump to lock up one of those last eight, he absolutely spit the bit.
Correct.
Three straight missed cuts. He was shaking like a leaf at the Barclays, and that concerns me.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I think he was the late out. Like I said earlier, I think that Furyk kind of not making it to Indy bounced him off and allowed the way, you know, paved the way for JB. But I'm with you, too. You look at his record. you know, prior to this last week, had missed five cuts in his previous nine events. So, you know, guys like Brandel, Chamblee, I hear them all talking about, you know, top fives in majors and the Masters and in the Open. I get that. But you know what? The Masters was a long time away.
Yeah.
And since the
so
Open.
So was Valhalla, by the way.
Yes, yeah, a long time away. And the Open, not so far away, but immediately after, you're right, did absolutely nothing, was hitting it sideways. Now has sort of found a little bit more form. Again, I think that, you know, he needs to send Jim Furyk probably a little Christmas card. Because if Jim Furyk plays a little bit better, and Jim Furyk was an Indy, I think that Furyk's on that team, and J.B. Holmes is hoping to play better at Eastlake for his chance.
I think it's a sign that Davis Love wanted him on this team. And you mentioned the fact that he played well this past week, and it elevated his status. I think that it speaks a lot. And look, we could debate the differences between stroke play and match play, but there is obviously a huge difference. And when have a guy who has had that team success, it does matter. And a little bit of recent form obviously helps, but his game, I just like him as a match play player. I just do. I like him. And so, yeah, did last week at BMW help? Absolutely it did. But I think that Davis was kind of pulling for him.
All I'm saying is that when we're looking to include his match play prowess from the 08 Ryder Cup, anytime you're including a team performance where you're on a team with Anthony Kim, that does not have as much weight in the current day. Like when you play back that clip,
it's just like it doesn't
happen.
There's
AK. What do you mean? I'm just saying it.
It's the only time the U.S. has won in the last.
It just shows it was a long time ago.
It was a
long
time ago.
I've been at Golf Channel almost 3 years. That's the first time I've ever made or heard an Anthony Kim reference.
He was out.
That's crazy.
You roll back the clip,
right?
Yeah, you roll back the tape. Yeah,
Boo riding the driver. Those were the good old days.
Oh, let's go, Ricky Fowler. And look, I love Ricky Fowler. He's great with the fans. He's fun. He has spirit. He's Mr. USA. The mustache needs to go. But
yes,
I don't know how you pick him. I don't know how you. I mean, and no offense, Ricky. I love you. You're great for the game. But
who instead then?
How?
That's the problem. Who do you take instead?
Me. I take Bubba.
Okay. Well, I'll take
Bubba's.
Ricky.
Neither one of them are stellar.
Yes.
I mean,
Bubba's,
I think they're
Bubba's
both
in the tour
exactly.
Championship.
He is in the Tour Championship, a few spots higher than Ricky.
Bubba's won two majors.
Yeah, but it's not the same Bubba. The same Bubba now is not the same Bubba that won those two majors. I think I didn't like either one of them. If we talked about this last week, is remember you asked we asked who we were going to pick, and my answer was nobody. Exactly 1 week ago, I didn't like anybody. I mean, Kuchar,
maybe. You would
maybe.
Have just left it out. We don't even need the picks. Let's just go with
seriously,
who we have.
It was that bad.
Let's
and it still kind
guys.
Of is not great, the fact that Ricky Fowler could be on this team playing as badly as he has. But if it wasn't him, it would have been Bubba, and I have issues with Bubba, too. I think, frankly, it's not a surprise that Ricky's on the team because I believe he was always going to be it. But I don't believe he should. I don't believe he deserves to be on this team, nor do I believe that Bubba deserves to be on this team either. Now, Bubba still has a chance, I believe. He's clearly on the outside looking in, but he needs to ratchet it up pretty high at Eastlake. But I don't like either one of the guys.
Yeah, I think when you look at Fowler, first of all, he got no credit in terms of Ryder Cup for winning in Abu Dhabi. If he gets some sort of points for that win against a good field, he's probably on the team. He's within, three or four holes at the Barclays of earning that last spot and bumping Zach to nine.
He did kind of gag that.
I'm just throwing it out there, playing devil's advocate, since Lisa's ready to burn him at the pyre here.
I love the guy.
The other thing is that you have a lot of people in that room who want Ricky on the team. And
that's
I think that
thing.
When it comes to a team captained by a guy like Davis Love III, who does not want to cause waves, who does not want to go against the
green, having a lot of say.
Yes, that there are plenty of people that are in his ear saying, bring Ricky on,
correct,
we will win with him. I think that helped. And I do think, remember, the last two times that Ricky's played, it was in Europe. This is the first time he's going to play on a U.S. home team. And I think that his intangibles with the fans, with all that stuff, is going to be exacerbated and he'll be more of an advantage.
Good point.
We can give our opinions. We will continue to do so. But let's hear what Davis Love III had to say about his captain's picks.
Well, we looked at a lot of guys that are in the Tour Championship and some guys that aren't in the Tour Championship. And we got a long 2 weeks ahead of us. I'd say the players that are playing in the Tour Championship need to try to win the Tour Championship and not think about Ryder Cup points. I think that's the biggest thing I've told several players is it's not a scoring contest at the Tour Championship for who gets the Ryder Cup pick. I'm going to talk to these 11 guys now that we have 11. we've got a game plan, a strategy, and we're going to work on that the next 2 weeks and announce our pick next Sunday night based on what fits best for our team, not really who shoots the lowest scores in the last tournament.
I don't know about you guys, but it almost sounds like he kind of already has the guy in mind. You think so? Not 100%, sort of, but maybe 75-80%.
I think he has a guy that if he had to pick right now, he's got a guy.
Correct. But there are a couple others who could maybe, if that guy, everybody's got a guy.
Yeah.
But if that
guy. No, you don't, because you don't like anybody.
That's true. Correct. I don't have a guy. If his guy happens to finish 20th and there are two or three others that win or finish in that top five, I think that absolutely should sway him. I don't know if it will, but I think it is, because you can't. Look, you can't go at halftime of Sunday night football and pick a guy who finished 29th at East Lake. You just kind of can't do it, even if that's your guy and that's who you want. So it comes from the pool of Justin Thomas, Gary Woodland, Ryan Moore, Kevin Kisner, Daniel Berger, and then Bubba, if Bubba happens to do something. I sort of think by Bubba not being picked now, I think it would have been easier to pick Bubba and then hold J.B. Holmes, because you know that he's played well enough, and almost no matter what he does, he justifies being on. Mm-hmm. I think by Bubba not being one of these first three tells me that he's on the outside looking in, which means he needs to play well. So I think Davis has a guy, but I think there's a pool of four or five that if they do something stellar.
Well, let's have that discussion. Who do you think that guy is?
Who is his guy?
Yeah.
I think it might be like a Justin Thomas type.
You think right now...
I think right now Daniel Berger has the inside track for the 12th pick.
Yeah,
I think it's Berger.
I think it's one of those young, like super young guys.
I think Berger played his way into the tour championship. I think that he's playing well. I think that he adds a little bit of youth and swagger. And that after the first three picks was going pretty chalk, that's a way for him to go a little bit out on the limb. I think that he's got the inside track.
Maybe. And then you look at Justin Thomas, just because he is buddies with Spieth and with Ricky, and you know, he's sort of shown up and played a little bit with Phil. And so there are guys that are already on that team that I know are buddies with Justin Thomas. And don't overlook that. That's the reason why Ricky's on the team in the first place.
Yeah.
Because he's buddies with the rest of those guys. So isn't Justin Thomas. I think it is one of those younger guys. And again, I think Bubba's on the outside looking in. But, you know, so we were talking about right before we came on, there's a pool of four or five guys. One of them has to play well, right? At a field
of 30 guys.
A field of 30, one of a pool of five has to finish in like the top five somewhere and do something to raise their hand and say, "Hey, me, I'm the guy."
Well, remember the last pick. This is the Billy Horschel pick, right?
There
is no Billy Horschel this year. There's no one that's in a position even going into East Lake who even with a win is going to say, "I absolutely need to be on this team." The guys we're talking about are 14th, 16th, 23rd on the FedEx Cup, where they could win it, the Tour Championship by a shot, and they still might not win the FedEx Cup, and you could wiggle your way out of not picking them.
I'll be honest, I'm glad that I'm not Davis Love III, because I have no idea which direction to go. I mean, you mentioned Berger, you mentioned Justin Thomas. The Americans are...
And Bubba's still the seventh ranked
player
in
the world. The last 10 Ryder Cups. There's a lot of pressure. Yeah. On Davis Love III to get this right. Okay, you guys mentioned that, so this is, and I know you talked about it last week, but now I get to join in on the conversation. Should the winner of the FedEx Cup, like the Billy Horschel pick, automatically get a spot?
All right, so we got into this last week after the red light went off.
I heard.
Here's the thing. I think if there's a two-trophy person, they have to get the last pick. Now, we haven't had the FedEx Cup champion not win the Tour Championship since Tiger in 2009. Everything since 10, you've had the two trophy pose. This year, maybe it's a little less likely in terms of it being someone who's not already on the team. But I do think that whoever it is, if it's Roberto Castro, if it's Gary Woodland, if it's Kevin Kisner, if you are standing there on the 18th green at East Lake with both trophies in your hand, you get to book a flight to Hazeltine. I don't care.
You're saying automatically.
Respect. Automatically.
With all due
That's
respect.
That's the whole point of this pick.
And it's not a captain's
respect,
pick.
There's no chance in hell.
Yeah. Okay?
There is no chance in hell of that happening. If Will McGirt or Roberto Castro win, first of all, it's very difficult. It's very difficult for this to happen, because in order for those guys to win, those top five guys have to play awful.
Right, but it's
happened, but they've kind of tweaked and gave a little more power to the top five guys. So there are the chances of it happening. But there is not, if Castro or McGirt win, there is no chance for them to be on the Ryder Cup team. There's 0% chance. What's less than zero? There is no chance that if Roberto Castro wins, that he's on the Ryder Cup team.
Okay, but look, even if
there's
he's
none.
In the top five, and even
sure?
if should it be an automatic
he's
thing?
He thinks it is because they've waited because
that's the whole
you're not.
Point.
Yeah.
So the
he said that's
point,
the whole point of it being right. of winning the
it's
pick.
It's not a captain's pick. It's another automatic qualifier.
They set these rules and Davis agreed to them to say, listen, we want this last pick to be Sunday night
right.
after the tour championship so we can identify the hot hand or whatever. But if you've got a guy sitting there and you've rejiggered your pick so that you have one ace up your sleeve, and you've got a guy that has both trophies and has won the season-long race and has won the last tournament before the Ryder Cup, it is very difficult from an optics perspective for me to say, no, I'm going to take the guy who got drummed by 6 shots this week, and let me add him.
Well, the guy like Ricky Fowler, who played awful for basically this entire year, is already on the team, all right? So, but there's no chance of it happening because a guy like Roberto Castro, I hate picking on the guy because he couldn't be a nicer guy. Sure. But he's not going to win his first tournament ever on the tour, and then all of a sudden that night be heading to Minnesota.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. Now, I do think that of the pool of 4 or 5 guys, that if one of those guys wins, or I don't want to say the best finish, you know, if Justin,
right.
you know, if Justin Thomas finishes 3rd, but Gary Woodland finishes 5th, and Gary Woodland was his guy, then, you know, I see Gary Woodland being able to get that last pick. He's just looking for some sort of a validation of this group of guys that he has. But Roberto Castro is not in that group. Will McGirt is not in that group. And there is nothing that they can do at East Lake for them
to be on the team. If Will McGirt wins by 5 shots, if he pulls like a Siwoo Kim at Wyndham and just cruises to victory, no chance. Okay.
No chance.
Well,
this
listen.
Is not the USGA, which the champion of the U.S. amateur ends up being on the Walker Cup team that year almost no matter what. It's not a
– Again, I'm looking at the big picture. I'm looking at the optics to say, all right, in 2014 –
You said optics twice,
I did.
By the way.
It's
I'm counting
word.
It.
It's 2014, you don't have Billy Horschel, and you go and you get drummed in Scotland.
Yep.
And then you come here and you change the rules to specifically allow you to get – the best guy at the last possible.
But you already said earlier that guy isn't. That guy's not here. There is no Billy Horschel. We're to the point where we already know there's not going to be a Billy Horschel.
Okay, there's not quite as big of a case as Billy Horschel. I will give you that. But
correct.
If Roberto Castro, let's run the Roberto Castro here. If he goes 3rd and 1st, and again, if it's a convincing win by 3 or 4 shots, and all the cards fall in the right way,
it's a cute little
story.
And then they go
and lose. If they lose this match without taking the FedEx Cup champion and the Tour champion.
Sorry, Will, and your hair's grown like half an inch while you've made this argument. I'm with Jay here. It shouldn't.
I'm outvoted.
I'm just saying it just shouldn't be an automatic qualifier. It should. It should still be a pick, and there should be. I mean, sure, you know, Davis would have picked Billy Horschel if Billy Horschel was doing what Billy Horschel did.
But nobody's.
But nobody's doing that.
If Davis could pick 2014 Billy Horschel, he would.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You want to say optics again? Just to
I'm
do
good.
It?
I said it twice.
Cool.
We're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Let's talk about DJ and his performance in the BMW Championship.
Did he win a golf tournament?
And wow, he just – Dustin Johnson, he continues to amaze me. And not just – I mean, I'm more impressed with when he's winning and doing things like this. I love watching the guy putt. There is something about – I mean, I like watching him walk. He just has that swagger, that rhythm, that tempo that you cannot teach. You absolutely cannot teach it. And there are very few players I remember in the history of the game who have had that just kind of impressive tempo. And he continues to just do incredible things.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing the beginning from Dustin Johnson.
I don't think any of this is a surprise. I think we may be a surprise that it hadn't happened sort of sooner. Maybe not this great. I mean, winning 3 times a year, it's not foolish to see DJ win 3 times a year for the next 6 or 8 years. Now, to pull off a major and a WGC and a playoff event, that's some pretty big stuff. But it's fun to finally see him be comfortable in his skin. Right now, he's got Paulina and the baby. Everything's just sort of kind of coming together, and DJ's just kind of seems like he's at peace with where he is in life, and it's sort of. It's producing results at what is a scary level right now, because when that dude's on, I mean, you're talking about his putting, which absolutely, but I just love standing there on the range just watching him flick his wrist and hit it 200 yards. I just love sitting there watching him. Did that at the U.S. Open. Anywhere you go, just go sit on the range and watch DJ. That's and you're gonna get your money's worth.
Yeah. Lisa, you mentioned the putting. It's a new putter this week.
Yeah.
And that just shows how much on autopilot he is, that he took Jason Day's spider putter or whatever from TaylorMade, and he's putting with it on the putting green, and then he goes to Austin's brother and says, "Hey, you guys have this in black?" And Austin goes and gets it in black, and they head to the first tee, and it just rolls with it, and he makes everything in sight for four straight days, 23 under par. I mean, it's amazing, as you said, when he's firing on all cylinders. We said this last week with Rory. We've said it a couple times with Jason Day this year, but when he's on, tough to beat.
Let's go another hypothetical, because you mentioned Jason Day. Excuse me. If he wins the Tour Championship, and we're talking Player of the Year here, let's say Jason wins the Tour Championship.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that would give him four wins this season.
Yeah.
Four wins, Tour Championship, FedEx Cup, and the Players. I still vote for DJ.
I think I do, too.
With three wins and a major. And
I think I do, too.
Yeah.
Tough vote, though.
It's a tough vote, and it wouldn't be unanimous by any. We'll never know, because we won't see the results. So that's for another show. But I think the major obviously puts him over the WGC, the playoff event. You know, Jason Day could win that and take it home. They each still will have only won one playoff event. And, you know, is one better than the other? Sure, because you're taking home that much more money. But the field was better for the one that DJ won, because there were more players. So whatever, you can parse it however you want to. And it would probably be you wouldn't be wrong either way. But to me, I think it is clearly DJ, just because the body of work.
Just the top 10.
I mean, there wasn't a dud. There was not a dud. All those wins were just studly performances.
Yeah, and he has been in the top 10, in the top 5, way more often than even Jason Day, who has had a very consistent year.
But Jason would have one more win. He still has a Players. He has a WGC event. He would have.
You got Bay Hill.
He would have the Tour Championship.
It makes it
close. I still think before BMW, the DJ had the edge with two wins at a major and WGC.
Correct. And then if they each win one, it's still a push.
Even with Jason Day adding the FedEx Cup, still not enough.
That's a tough one for me, because I look at the Players is the best field in golf.
Yeah.
It is the best field. It's a much better
and
field.
And the U.S. Open is the hardest tournament to win.
It's a better field than the U.S. Open, though.
I know, I mean.
I mean, you have qualifiers, you have amateurs, you have.
Still,
you know
I still
all that,
say
right?
I still say the U.S. Open, according to the optics, is the hardest tournament.
There we go,
to win.
Trifecta.
So I'm the only one going. Not saying that I would really have to think about it, though. I don't think that it's, you said clearly. I don't think that it's clearly. I just don't.
I think the vote would be close. I think my personal vote would not be close.
Yeah.
I would go DJ without much hesitation.
I can live with that.
Okay. What about the favorite to win the FedEx Cup? You want to debate that? Because we're looking at the top five, the guys who have the.
Adam Scott.
We have DJ, Patrick Reed, Adam Scott, Jason Day, Paul Casey are top five. One of those guys. Whoever wins this tournament in that top five, they're guaranteed.
We were talking before that Adam Scott and Paul Casey have the FedEx Cup disaster scenario, where they both could theoretically win the FedEx Cup without winning a single playoff event, which has not yet happened in the FedEx Cup era, but
it's
due.
It's just been brewing.
It has to happen.
I knew it was going to happen.
It has to happen one of these years. So
it's been brewing.
Maybe this is the year.
I mean, there's a lot of guys of those top guys who have played well here. I mean, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's any of those. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Spieth runs up and wins this thing by three shots. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, DJ. Any of those, it probably would surprise me, actually, if Adam Scott or Paul Casey actually finally won. Wait till the entire year and then go. But they are in the position for it to happen, so I guess it's not crazy. I don't know about Jason Day and how he's feeling and everything, so he probably wouldn't be my 1A. But I wouldn't have a problem going with, like, DJ and Spieth. And, of course, if Spieth did win, you know, he needs a little bit of help. But it's not crazy to think that a guy who's seventh place could end up going up and winning, the other guys be just a little off and win. There are horses for courses, and he's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a few years. I think we got to go back to Haas in 10 or Haas in 11, I guess, would be the last time we saw someone win from outside the top five in the FedEx Cup. It's been a lot of chalk over the last few years, so that kind of leads
Seems
you.
Seems like it's kind of primed for that to happen.
It kind of leads you to someone,
it,
you know.
Make it interesting.
You know, Patrick Reed is still playing well. DJ obviously comes in with a lot of momentum. It's tough to pick someone. Even just going down to 6 or 7, it's tough to take. I would take the top five over the field, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard, but Tiger Woods is talking about coming back.
Oh. How about that? Yeah. Where's our sound effect? We have no sound effect anymore?
Yeah, we used to have that Tiger roar every time we...
That's how long it's been that we retired.
Every time we mentioned his name, there was this big old roar that would come from the back.
Those were the days.
Do we have the Tiger roar?
I don't know. It might be back in the boxes up in the attic now.
It must have got cut in the budget. Tiger roar, a line item one.
It's not guaranteed, which is why that says Tiger's plan, his proposed schedule.
Hopefully
for him and the game of golf, that we do indeed see him at the Safeway Open. Were you guys, I know that this was kind of on the horizon for a little bit, but surprised when you first heard that this was potentially
happening. I've been, for as many no's as we've gotten, I was very surprised to get a yes. I feel like now I'm 20-year-old me on the dance floor again. But it's...
Can we say that? We'll stop now.
No, we're good. So it's...
I would not like the optics of that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we've just spent the entire summer getting punted by one, you know, statement after another saying there's no progress and no timeline. And now all of a sudden, we get the green light and we're ready to go. So as you know, whenever that was going to come, I think everyone assumed you were looking possibly at his event in December. Right. Maybe he was going to get a start before then, maybe not. But it's good to have confirmation, not of starts, but at least of his hopes and intentions to play.
Yeah, and well, look, I know he's couching it in case he, you know, in case he tweaks that back in the first round at Safeway, but all three are going to happen, all right? Unless he really truly does injure himself and can't do it, because you're not going to commit to the Safeway unless you're in. I mean, you're in, all right? If you're healthy enough last week to announce that you'd like to play, you're going to play. Turkey, he's going to collect a paycheck in order to play in Turkey.
And check a box.
He's playing there. And then the last one is his event.
Yeah.
So he stands to gain by playing in his event, all right? So, again, I get the couching and all that stuff. I think that's more to for us to sort of lower the expectations, to sort of tell us that he's not as healthy as maybe we think, that he wants to dip his toe in the water and see how it goes. But he's going to play in all three, and I love it. You know, I hope there's a little bit of success. I don't know what that is. He's guaranteed to play four rounds in the Bahamas. He's guaranteed to play four rounds in Turkey.
But what happens? What happens if he plays Safeway and it's
and
you
it's
hate to say, well, yeah, you hate to say disaster, but what?
Well,
you know, you think
Phoenix
you think
or
about
Tory
the
or
yeah, you think about the short game issues
at
Waste Management, and you think about Congressional when he dumped those balls in the water. I'm not saying look, it's obviously going to be a different Tiger Woods in October when we see him, but what if? And I'm talking about for him. Forget everything else. For him, the mentality, this comeback. What does that do to him?
I guess I'm sort of hoping that 2 days at Safeway can't be worse than what we've already seen in the last couple of years. The Memorial and Phoenix and even the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay was just brutal.
You started to forget
I guess
about
I'm, I guess ball. That I'm just hoping that it's not going to be that bad. I mean, I truly don't have expectations, you know. So you add those up. We're if he plays these three events, we're guaranteed to see him play 10 rounds of golf from now to the end of the year, and that's a good thing.
And hopefully 12.
Yeah, hopefully 12. Yeah. So I guess I'm hoping that it can't be that bad. And that we see just a little bit of success. What is that? I don't really know. But he is a victim of his own success, and people are going to light him up no matter what he does.
Yeah, I feel like these three starts are a package deal, that he's looking at this. This is his preseason or spring training or whatever.
AAA starts.
And this will set the tone for 2017. It really will set the schedule for how ambitious he might be going into the spring. You know, I'm sure he wants to play Torrey. His foundation is now tied to the event in L.A., so he would want to go back to Riviera. Yep. And, you know, you need to see how his body holds up and how his game holds up before you can really start penciling in those starts in early 2017.
What is success to you all at Safeway? Because for me, him making the cut, I mean, I think that would be a really, really solid good sign. I don't think that we should expect anything more or less. I mean, we should expect Tiger Woods, if he comes back, to be healthy and to make the cut.
Yeah, I almost don't even expect him to make the cut. But if he's within a couple shots of making the cut, I think, frankly, that's success, and it hurts to say that about Tiger Woods, that being within a couple shots of making the cut is success, but it is to see him out on the golf course and walk again, make some putts, be able to get up and down in some tricky spots and be able to go after it off the tee, you know, to be able to see him just hit golf shots again. They don't all have to be great, but to see him hit a couple really solid golf shots in a couple rounds would be really pretty cool to get. It's been a long time since we've seen this guy.
I know, it's crazy. I do think that Safeway is a soft landing spot for him. I was out at that event 2 years ago at Silverado. That is not a course where you need driver. There's four par fives. There's not a lot of water. The rough isn't too thick. I think it's a course that he can really kind of get his feet under him. Kind of like Wyndham, where he can get his feet under him, put up a 71, 72 without breaking too much of a sweat, and then kind of go from there. So I think that, you know, there were a lot of factors that went into him choosing this event, but that's certainly one of them, that he's not, as we talked about over the summer, he's not coming off a big layoff and going to Sawgrass or Quail Hollow or a course that's just going to, it's just going to kick his teeth.
I said it on Central, and I thankfully didn't get in trouble, but I just think it's picking Napa. You know, you're in Napa. Why not make a comeback there? Yeah. Things don't go well. Just go to the winery, right?
He got something to do on the weekend if you have it off.
Nothing wrong with that. Let's take a look at what's going on this week in golf. It's always busy. Does golf ever stop?
Never.
I mean, really, the ladies have the fifth and final major, the Evian Championship, and then over on the European Tour, so much still happening. And the Web.com Tour, we have the second of the four playoff events. Again, 25 PGA Tour cards on the line after those four finals events. So what are you guys looking forward to? We have the big race between Aria Chitanagarn and Lydia Ko for the player of the year for the ladies. So really a lot going on. They're still chasing the race to Dubai as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I've got my eye on Boise. I'll be interested to see how Bryson DeChambeau plays after winning that event. He's locked up his PGA Tour card. Be interesting to see if he's able to win that money race over these four events and get fully exempt, get into the players. I think that would be great for you know, golf, certainly good for business to have a player with his cachet kind of get that top spot.
And you make a good point because it's not just getting your car, but now once you have it, they're playing for the status.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was kind of forgotten there for a while. For as much hype and talk as there was as him back at the Masters and everything, he was kind of the forgotten guy there for
took a backseat to John Rahm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so for him to be able to jump back up there in the very first one and put his name up there, I think is pretty cool. But, you know, anytime there's a major, I'm watching, so it would be good to watch the Evian as well.
Yep. Final thoughts? You want to get in like a fan?
Roberto Castro played at East Lake in college, went to Georgia Tech. It could happen. I'm telling you, it could happen.
It will not happen.
Yeah, the Gators are going to win the national championship in football.
They're going to beat North Texas. I'll tell you that much.
Well, there you go. Nothing? You're done?
No, I'm good. I still don't like anybody, although you did a fine job, Lisa.
Well,
you and I are cool.
Okay,
you and I are
thanks.
Cool. I'm back in the doghouse, though.
Well, you all look really cute in your matching blue. That's all for us. Have a great Monday.